Hello everyone, I'm Troy Dodds and welcome to this very special Western Weekender podcast as we review the 2023 Penrith Panthers season. And I'm joined by Western Weekender rugby league reporter Nathan Taylor. G'day Nathan.
G'day Troy.
Well, we were here about 6 months ago previewing this season. I can't remember exactly what we said about where it would end up, but geez, it has ended up in a pretty spectacular spot. The Mighty Panthers winning a third straight title. Who would have thought, going back a few years ago, but it's a three-peat for the Panthers.
Absolutely historic achievement for the club and for the fan base who have gone through so much over the decades, and to see their Mighty Panthers get three in a row was something we'll never ever forget.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you, what were you thinking at 24-8 in that second half as the Broncos through Ezra Mam took a pretty commanding lead?
I was thinking I'm going to save a lot of money on merchandise sales this year, because whenever we win a comp, I usually straight after pop online and buy a few things, and I thought I'm going to save some money this year. But no, I certainly didn't expect them to come back. I gave up after they went up by one try. I just turned to my wife and sort of like cut my throat going, they're done. I said I can't see them coming back, because Brisbane are doing all their scoring in front of the Panthers Bay on that side of the field. So I was seeing the players, you know, knelt down on their, you know, looking at each other going, what's going on? And Ezra Mann and everyone's screaming, you know, in front of you. And you're like, nah, I just don't see how anyone can come back from this. And, you know, lo and behold, they did. And, you know, the rest, they say, is history.
Yeah, and of course, off the back of Nathan Cleary, who produced probably the 20 best minutes of footy you could imagine. A lot of people, Nathan included, saying that he'd been very quiet in the grand final. So it was pretty remarkable to see him do what he did in the last 20 minutes. Not just that try, which we're going to see, I think, replayed forever, just as much as we see the Darren Albert try in 1997 or Kyle Felt in 2015. But the 40-20, the foot out on the sideline for the penalty on that long line dropout from Adam Reynolds, the setup for Moses Leota, just an incredible 20 minutes.
Oh, absolutely. And I was at KISS on Saturday night, and it was quite unbelievable because it was a week since the game, and I was looking at that end of the field. I'm like, that's the Nathan Cleary and the Nathan Cleary, you know, in goal zone. They could rename it, you know, I'm not sure. But the memories just keep floating back. He just absolutely, you know, took that game on and really steered Penrith home. And considering, you know, everything that went against them in that second half with Luai going off and obviously Yoey and Scott Sorensen, and just, you know, things weren't happening. And it just takes a champion player to be able to do that. And that's why Nathan Cleary will be one of the best ever.
As far as the grand final is concerned, you're right. The momentum should not have shifted from where it was at.
If this was a round 6-7 game, they don't come back, I don't think.
Momentum shifts in games, but not when you've got, as you mentioned, Isaiah Yeo off the field, Scott Sorensen off
it
the field.
It was all going wrong. I think we lost a challenge as well at some point.
Brisbane just absolutely red hot. So pretty remarkable. We know it all now. Brisbane leading 24-8. The Panthers come back. They win it 26-24, third consecutive grand final. What you typically do afterwards is watch a lot of videos and watch a lot of content. So I want to ask you, what is your favourite piece of commentary? You've watched it all, Channel 9, Triple M, ABC, 2GB, we've seen it all. What's your favourite piece of commentary from this period?
It was actually funny because on the train home following the game, Triple M actually replay the game back. So after the game's well and truly finished, they replay it back. And I think I tuned in probably around half time or something like that of the game, and it was, I think Penrith were leading 8-6 at the time, and this was before all the Broncos tries, and I found it fascinating to hear the commentary during that, because I think it was Dan Ganay and Ryan Girdler, of course, and I think maybe Wendell Saylor was on the call as well. So listening back and knowing what was about to happen made it just so much more fun. You know, being able to listen without stressing out. And I must say, I really enjoyed Dan Ganane's call, especially the way he called the Nathan Cleary, you know, try at the end. I think that footage I've watched countless times since last Sunday.
Well, you can see that footage online, particularly on Triple M's TikTok, on TikTok. But have a listen. This is Dan Ganane calling that Nathan Cleary try and some pretty awesome audio.
Cleary, right, straightening, score!
It's about to win the premiership for Penrith.
produced one of the greatest performances we have ever seen. And he scores under the posts. 24-all.
I can't believe it.
And Nathan Cleary, ice cool, will have a kick to put them in front. And all, unless there's an obstruction, which I don't see, it's a try. It's a try. Don't anyone ever doubt Nathan Cleary again.
We were talking about Ezra Mann having the best half in grand final history.
Second best.
Nathan Cleary just says, hold my beer.
Spine-chilling stuff, really, from Dan Ganane. Ryan Girdler, pretty much with no voice during that one. But yeah, great call.
Excellent. Yeah, having Girds there, just as a Panther man, he would have felt every bit of it, just like we did watching at the stadium or at home, for sure.
Well, I've got to say my favourite comes from maybe an unusual place, because I've listened and watched it all, but I reckon Andrew Moore's call on ABC Grandstand was particularly special. And again, if you can jump online on maybe the ABC Twitter account and have a look at the video that's attached to it,
he's in his Hawaiian shirt or something, isn't he?
He does wear an Hawaiian shirt. This is Andrew Moore on the ABC.
Kenny, short side left, Cleary, steps past, 1, 2, 3, scores between the posts. Nathan Cleary has turned this grand final. He's picked it up, raised it above his head, and flipped it over. It's 24-all. What a try, Cleary. They're about to hit the lead with a minute 57 to go. Here comes Cleary. He kicks it. He's 4 out of 4. Penrith 26, Brisbane 24. Now Walters goes right to Reynolds. Links up with Walsh. Walsh explodes. Taken by Crichton. It's it. Sarrington has it. 30 seconds to go. Game, set, three-peat for Penrith. Sorensen 40 out, played the Cogger to Edwards. What a performance by the Panthers. What a comeback. They joined Parramatta in the early 80s to win 3 in a row. 8 seconds left. Kenny in the Flegler. Brisbane players have collapsed. How did that get away? Penrith are going ape.
Andrew Moore on the ABC, pretty awesome to hear that call as well. And of course, we've heard it all. We've heard Nine and Fox and Ray Hadley on 2GB, and we'll forever watch those highlights. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I must admit, I've got them all on YouTube ready to go. They're it's great. It's great. You never get tired of of watching stuff like that.
All right, now let's talk about post-game. We saw Nathan Cleary, of course, get the Clive Churchill medal. No surprise there that he was getting the Clive Churchill medal after that kind of performance. But you'd have to think that Ezra Mann, his name was probably pretty much closely engraved on it as we were approaching that 20-minute mark to go.
Oh, I think they said the odds were like $1.03 or something at that point, because it was his that... 15 minutes when he went nuts scoring those three tries. That was it for Brisbane. They would have thought they had it won. Like everyone else did in the stadium, they would have thought, this is it for us. The run's over. But Nathan Cleary had one last say, and he was very deserving of the Clive Churchill at the end of the game.
And of course, since then, we've had the Merv Cartwright medal, of course, as a Yo named the Player of the Year. Here at the weekend, we named Stephen Crichton.
We did.
Our Player of the Year. Now, you were... heading up the judging panel for the Player of the Year. Explain to us why you've given it to Stephen Crichton.
Look, not only because it was his last year in Panthers colours, but I just think he absolutely made a huge difference for Penrith this year. In just big moments, he was there in the grand final, scored his fourth in four grand finals as well, helped with that amazing comeback last Sunday. I think he played over 20 games. He scored more than a dozen tries, kicked 21 goals or something this year. So he did a bit of everything. But like most people have said, he was probably New South Wales' best player during Origin. So he's been in good form this year in representative football as well as for the Panthers. And I think he really wanted to make a big fist of, his final year at Penrith. And, Isaiah Yeo was extraordinary and had a great year. He's always Mr. Consistent. But I just liked what Stephen Crichton brought. And I think, a lot of our victories over the years and this year as well came down to some brilliance and X factor from Critter. And he's going to be, and we say this every year, he's going to be hard to replace, but he could be the one that that is the hardest to replace, perhaps.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a minute, how 2024 looks. But this is a review not just of the grand final, but of the Panthers' season overall. So let's go back to early March. And, of course, the season kicked off Brisbane 13, Penrith 12. I'm just going to go through the games, and on a couple of them, I'm going to ask you what you were thinking games. So let's start with round one. What were you thinking after what was a second consecutive one-point loss after the World Club Challenge defeat?
It was tough. It was tough to lose two games in a row by, you know, a field goal, essentially. It was a hard way to start. It was a big reality check because, you know, we thought we would have got to win the World Club Challenge. We thought, St. Helens would be, fodder, even though they'd won four comps in a row. We thought, we'd beat them at home. And then coming against Brisbane, no Reece Walsh, that he hadn't actually played a game for them yet, so we weren't sure what to expect from him. But we just thought, back at home, round one, we should get the job done, and didn't. So you're not going to panic after one game, but you could see then that Brisbane were going to probably be a bit of a challenge this year, and they certainly were.
Round two, of course, Panthers had their first win of the year. They beat South 16-10, followed by a bye, and then a heartbreaking but memorable game against Parramatta. The Eels winning 17-16. That was the night Nathan Cleary kicks the two-point field goal.
Clutchest moment in rugby league, Joey, I think, said. Because, it ultimately could have been. It was. He got us to extra time.
Yeah, kicks it to extra time. But a defeat. So, when you look at that, after 4 weeks, with the bye included, you're sort of sitting at 50-50. But then things click into gear. A 53-12 defeat of Canberra in the nation's capital, and then a 44-12 win over Manly. What are you thinking after those 2 weeks?
Oh, we're back. We're the team to beat again, of course, putting big scorelines on that one, which Penrith don't generally do during a year. They like to grind out games and, they like to get the win done early, I dare say. But in those two games, I think the Manly game in particular, I think they was 28-0 at halftime. Mm. Like they actually, you could have been anything.
And they scored a first half hat trick.
Yes, and the Canberra game, they certainly, I think they started slow in that, but then went on with it in the end. But it was nice to see the Panthers put some points on in those two games.
Now, I've got to say, it's around this time that I think I can talk about this now, that I have a conversation with Shane Elford, who is obviously heavily involved with the Panthers, head trainer out there on the field. And it was at this point where he said, look, things are going along as we expect. He said, with the World Cup hangover, of course, and the Premiership hangover and the very shortened preseason, we anticipated that kind of rounds 1-4 was still kind of part of our preseason. Mm-hmm. So they weren't expecting to come out and necessarily, come out all guns blazing. So I was pretty happy at this point. I'm thinking, maybe he's 100% right here because we've had now two big wins, rough start to the year, but things are going along. But then an interesting period hits. Round seven, a 16-15 win over Newcastle, a bludger of a game. Mm-hmm. Probably Penrith's worst performance of the year at that point. There's one coming up that's maybe a little bit worse. But again, Nathan Cleary gets them home. And this is what happens, I guess, when you've got a player...
Two field goals,
like
I think,
Nathan Cleary,
night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that you win the game you're not supposed to win.
Yeah.
And on that night, Newcastle was supposed to win that, but Nathan Cleary steps
some
up
brilliance
and,
yet
and
again.
Does it again.
Yeah.
The game that follows is Thursday night football, and South Sydney storm home late, beat Penrith, emerged from that game as premiership favourites, South Sydney.
Lost Isaac Tago, I think, at some point.
Yep, and there was a positional switch, and just did not work out that positional switch. I think we moved Jamin Salmon over to the right side defence. Yeah. Stephen Crichton came over to the left. We should have probably done... Yeah. Something a bit different there. But where things get really shaky, and there's a line, is the next week. Very wet conditions in Bathurst. Penrith go down 12-8 to the eventual Wooden Spooners, the West Tigers. What are you thinking in round nine?
Well, I don't know what I was thinking that game, because I had my uncle, Peter Lang, he was over for that one. He'd left. He usually stays and watches the whole game, but he'd actually end up leaving... halfway through the second half, because he's like, nah, Nathan, I don't think we can win this. This was too frustrating for him, and it was for everyone sitting at home watching that one. I'd hate to have been out in Bathurst that day. That's only the one for the true diehards. But obviously it wasn't good. You just didn't know what was going to happen. You didn't know how the fans would react, how the opposition fans would react, the media were going to react to Penrith losing to one of the worst teams in the comp, and bit of a losing streak as well had started up too. And, it's definitely not what you want, because I think that was that... West's first win of the year as well, did we give them?
Yeah, it may well have been, actually. Yeah, because they were on that horrific losing streak.
Okay, so we gave them their first win of the year too. And, yeah, I think Nathan Cleary, he dropped the ball over the line or something ridiculous.
Yeah, really close to the line, he got brought down.
Like a lot of things didn't go our way that night. And again, it was a close game, certainly a try in it. We could have won, but it wasn't thinking good things. But it's, you know, that's what happens in the season. You know, these random losses can happen.
Magic round follows, and the Panthers get up 18-6 over the Warriors. Then there's a big win over the Roosters, a 48-4 thrashing at Bluebet Stadium. And at that point, I think you're feeling that the things are sort of back on track. Mm. The following week, a big clash in Brisbane. Nathan Cleary again steps up, 15-4. The Panthers win that one, followed by a bye. But then there's a bit of a shockwave on a rare Sunday night at Bluebet Stadium. Penrith win 26-18. Just happened to be carrying Jack Cogger on the bench.
Randomly, yeah.
And Nathan Cleary does his hamstring. What are you thinking at this point, or at that point, Nathan Cleary limping off on that Western touchline?
Yeah, because that was, what, a few days after Origin. Mm. Jack Cogger, I think it was his first game for us too. So what was I thinking? Yeah, not good thoughts. Obviously, you know, we weren't sure how bad the injury was going to be, how long he'd be out for. We had a feeling he'd be out for the Origin at least, but not sure after that. Hamstrings can be one of those injuries where you just don't know how long players can be. And we've had players this year who have had hamstring problems. They've due back and then they've redone them again at training. So it's a tricky little injury. And I think Nath was very lucky to even get through the rest of the season unscathed.
Yeah, he certainly was. But he came back, obviously, and delivered us a premiership. So
yes.
Pretty remarkable stuff. The very next week, the Panthers, without Nathan Cleary, easy defeat of the Roosters, 30-6 at the brand new Allianz Stadium. Mm-hmm. Then there was that wild game up in Townsville, which went to Golden Point. The Cowboys won it late, 27-23, with all of Penrith's rep players out. Then a 20-12 defeat of Newcastle. So, you know, at that point, Newcastle, I think, go on their winning run
after that
week.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were, you know, at that time we were probably thinking, oh, we should beat Newcastle by more. But the Knights ended up coming pretty good. Then there's probably one of my favourite results of the year, and this is down at Marvel Stadium in Melbourne, a 34-16 victory after Melbourne...
12-0, they're up.
Absolutely astonishing first sort of 20, 30 minutes. And then the Panthers just hit back. That was one of the great games of the year. Harry Grant and Nelson Solomona, of course, he scored that controversial try in the 24th minute. But, then we just hit the accelerator. Stephen Crichton, Isaac Tago, Liam Martin all scoring before halftime, and Penrith ended up winning 34-16, which is a great win. Then a bye, and then off to Redcliffe to play the Dolphins for the first time. And that was a bit of a closer game than we thought, 24-14. Then back home for a game that many people were saying was going to be 80-0. Penrith up against the Bulldogs on the 23rd of July. Great afternoon for football. Sellout crowd. Penrith only win 44-18.
Only.
And I say only because they actually conceded more tries in that game than they do in most. Yeah.
Did Nathan come back for that game?
Was Nathan Cleary back in that game? He was, yes.
That was his first game back.
Yeah. He kicked 6 from 8. He was back. But only 44-18 against a team we were supposed to
win. They scored some late tries. Yeah, that's right.
What were you thinking on that day? You're still thinking the Premiership three-peat is on track?
Yeah. Yeah, look, I was never sure we're going to win the three-peat this year. It was one of those things, you know. You just wanted to finish as high as possible. And I think there was such a battle between Penrith and I think Brisbane and maybe another team during the year. Every loss really mattered because a loss could see you could be second that week or first, you know. So, I wasn't really confident the whole year that they were going to do it. But, the 44-18 win, I know a lot of people were very unhappy with that game. Attack-wise, excellent. But, they did let in some really soft tries towards the end, which wasn't good.
That was a game, of course, with plenty of try-scoring celebrations. A lot of the fun that
that was good, Love that.
Yep. All right. Now, the following week, clean sheet, Panthers 28, Sharks 0. Mm. And then we return to Penrith again. The only game I missed, actually, this season in Penrith. 26-6 over Melbourne.
Good game, that one.
Pretty comfortable win. I watched it from the Bulla Bulla Lounge in Fiji about 10 o'clock Fiji time. But look, great game and really showed that when it really mattered against the big teams, Penrith were going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, games against Melbourne are always you know, 50-50, and back in the bad day, you know, you could never beat them. So any wins over Melbourne are great, and we certainly had two really great ones this year in the regular season and then obviously in the prelim as well. So
24-12 over Manly the next week. That was the game where Manly really threw the ball around and had a go at Penrith.
Yeah, that was at Brookvale, wasn't it?
In that first half. Yeah, they did scare us a little bit, but in the end, the Panthers get there. And then they thrashed the Titans the next week, 40-14, cruising at that point. Then comes the game that, to be honest with you, is probably the only time during the year where I would have said to you, we are not looking good here. I was always pretty confident we were not necessarily bound for a three-peat, but even though I did predict that back in February. He predicted some good other things as well in that preseason prediction column. But 32-18, Parramatta upset Penrith. That's not the real issue though. Jerome Luai, of course, goes off with that shoulder injury, and it just felt on that night that everything was going wrong.
Yeah, it felt like everything was falling apart. Because you know, we've all got Parramatta friends and things like that. So when you're getting the texts and they're gloating and making out the greatest team ever, it starts to get to you a bit, I must admit. And yeah, seeing Romy go off and seeing us have 32 odd points put on us, which is not usual Penrith. Their defense is usually rock solid, and you know, if we do lose, we don't let that many points in. But yeah, everything went bad. Losing to the Eels being the number one thing. You don't want to see that, especially at home, especially when, you know, you're trying to get the minor premiership. We thought it was gone. Well, if we won that game, we probably could have just, won the minor premiership that weekend. But, we thought we were gone after that. But, stranger things happen.
Yes, well, of course, Brisbane end up in that final round resting a host of players. That allows Melbourne to post an unlikely win. And Penrith get to play for the minor premiership, and successful they are in that, 44-12 over North Queensland. Then the Panthers are back the next week in the very odd Saturday afternoon time slot. Now, look, the interesting thing about these two finals games, if you thought the 2022 final series was dominant, this was just incredible. 32-6 over the Warriors, 38-4 over the Storm. Mm. Two absolute dominant performances, one try conceded in each of them. Remarkable finals campaign.
Oh, you were on top of the world after those two games. They were so so dominant. Penrith were on fire, both in attack and defence. But then you looked on the other side of the draw, and you were seeing those Brisbane Broncos do pretty much the same thing to their opponents in their respective games too. So you always had one eye on them, going, if we're going to meet Brisbane in a grand final, it's always going to be a beauty of a match.
26-24, the grand final, of course. The Panthers over the Broncos. Mitch Kenny, the most
legend.
Unlikely
first
of,
try of the of year. I must say, can I tell a story? During the year, I used to chat to Mitch, for player interviews, and I said to him, it got to about round 20. I can't remember when we did it. And I'm like, you haven't scored yet, Mitch? Like, I always look at their stats before interviewing them, and there was no tries for him. I'm like, he's one of the only players in Penrith that didn't score. And I said, he's like, yeah, mate, I don't know what's going on. I go, mate, you might get one when it matters the most, in a big game or something like that. And he just laughed. And when he went over for that first try, I laughed. I could not believe it, because he would have just loved that. So not score all year, but get one in the GF. And then the way he did, like typical classic Mitch Kenny fashion.
Even more so, I think, obviously at the start of the year, there was a lot of fears over if Mitch was the right guy.
Yeah.
I think, you get to round 5 or 6, even Mitch Kenny's probably thinking, we can't win the comp with Mitch Kenny.
But
somehow, he really does turn it around. He makes it his own, that position.
Well, especially when he was out for a period of time, people really missed him. Like, they really missed Mitch.
Well, I think what's even more remarkable is there was this push, and this just shows to show you sometimes both media and fans don't really know what's going on inside, because there's this push for Sonny Luke, early in the year, because Sonny Luke's spending a lot of time coming off as a number 14, and he has some impact in some of those earlier games.
It's exciting to watch.
A crucial try. It was exciting to watch. But as the weeks rolled on, it was kind of when you realised, well, Sonny Luke is not going to be your 80-minute number 9 here. No, this is not going to happen. And by the time we get to the end of the year, Sonny Luke's not even in the squad on grand final.
His last game was
that
Parra game, yeah.
Yeah, so, Mitch Kenny really then just owned that number 9 spot. And then, of course, you had your options off the bench. Cogger eventually coming in there. And of course, Tyrone Beachy, who got a premiership ring as the 18th man on grand final day.
He was very happy, wasn't he? So
that was good to see. But look, a 5-star season, a 10 out of 10 season, really. I mean, when it's a premiership defence and you finish as minor premiers and premiers, you can't really ask for much more than that.
No. We say we never, you know, we'll never see these seasons again, and every year they show up and do something more historic and more unbelievable. But yeah, absolutely, you can't fault anything they did this year. It certainly was part of a season we'll never forget.
Now, of course, post Grand Final 2, there's been lots of merchandise released.
How good is it?
Now, you've actually found some particularly interesting, very curious items floating around. What are some of your favourites you've spotted?
Some of the odd ones out there.
Yes, I mean, I've heard that you might have found a Brisbane a Brisbane Premiers t-shirt.
Yeah, so for people that were at the Grand Final, so straight after the Grand Final, there was a couple of merchandise outlets around Acor Stadium that were selling Premiers t-shirts.
Yep.
So you could actually go there straight after the game and pop on your Panthers t-shirt. Now, obviously, they're going to have Brisbane Broncos t-shirts as well. Now, I imagine they've got some cardboard boxes there at full time. They you know, slice open the Penrith ones and put them for sale, and the Brisbane ones never go seen. But I was on eBay, I think it was over the weekend, and just typed in 2023 NRL Grand Final just to see if there was anything cool that had been posted up there, and someone had listed a Brisbane Broncos Premier shirt that they bought at Acor Stadium by accident, they said. That was by accident. So I don't know whether it got mixed up within the Penrith bunch. Imagine that. Imagine taking that home and go, oh, crap, this is... But anyway, the guys popped it on for $750, buy it now, or $500 starting bids. I don't know how well... You know, I don't think any Brisbane fan's going to buy one of those, but it was quite cool to see. So it was exactly the same design as the Penrith one, except it said Broncos instead of Panthers. But that was quite an interesting find.
Well,
what on
does eBay. Happen to those?
They say they send them in Africa or something. That's what they do in
surely
the NBA.
Surely, you know, heading over to some village in Africa and they're all wearing Parramatta Eels 2022 Premier shirts.
Yeah, and Penrith 2020 Grand Final. It's possible. It's possible. They do something with them. That's what they always say. They ship them off to Africa so no one sees them.
Okay. All right. Well, there's some good shirts. There's about three or four different shirts.
There's a few. Got some are already in the store. Some are still on pre-order, but love them.
Yep, and there's I think Tui's have got their three-peat beer out. You have to pre-order that from.
Remember that came out a couple of years ago, right?
Yes, for 2021. Yep, but there was no 2022.
No,
there is a 2023. So they were drinking that in the sheds, I believe.
Oh, the three-peat beer.
The three-peat beer. So
okay,
but you'll be able to get that in the next few weeks. There's some good frames. There's so many good frames.
There's lots of good frames. There's one with all three Panthers jerseys over the last 3 years.
Yes.
I think that's the latest one they've done.
Yeah, there's actually a quirky... we've worn three different jerseys now in the three winning grand finals. And you might have a little bit of insight into why we did that.
Yeah, because they wanted to, quite simply, they wanted to differentiate each of the years. So when they do have those pictures up, they can say, oh, that was 21, that was 22, that's 20. Obviously, a lot of the players have remained the same, but you can tell when the different jerseys exactly what year they've done. So you see that 2003 classic strip, that's 2023. The 1901 strip, which they wore last year, was 2022. And then that just the classic black for 2021. So that's why they did it, to differentiate the years. Next year they're going to have a new major sponsor, so that's going to change things anyway. But they, they haven't won one in pink yet or white. Or so.
Well, this does end the oak era.
It does.
As well, which is pretty
sad.
Pretty full on. And when you think about that, we are going to see all of these premiers shirts and jerseys forever, these photos forever with oak on them.
Yeah.
It's going to be a weird feeling to not see
oak. They did well, didn't they, oak, with their...
Yep, good partnership. Question about that. I tell you that it's really interesting when you think about I love the little sort of quirkiness of things. I mean, you think about that we lost the 2020 Grand Final and the 30th anniversary of our first grand final loss.
Yep.
One, of course, on the 30th anniversary of the 1991 grand final, one there. And then, of course, one on the 20th anniversary of the 2003 grand final.
Yeah, exactly.
So, pretty remarkable, those little
how it all comes about.
Pop up. Now, we should let everyone know, of course, we're putting together a special publication called Three-Peat, which is a magazine that basically collates all of the pre, the post and the game itself of all 3 years of 3P. We're putting that together. There's some original content in there as well. You've written a piece on how covering the game has changed over those 3 years and how they were all different. So you can go to westernweekender.com.au/threepeat, pre-order that. That'll be out in early November.
And it's been doing quite well from what I've been
absolutely,
told.
Absolutely, yeah. It's still going to be, at the end of the day, though, it's a paid product, so it's still going to be a rarity. You know, if you're going to get one of these, you're going to have one of, you know, less than 2,000 in terms of being able to keep it. So, and I reckon get two copies, just personally. You've got to put one away, and then there's an autograph page in there too, so you can spend the next year trying to get some autographs.
Yeah, nice.
And I reckon the big challenge will be, can you get an autograph of every player from across the three grand finals?
Oh, that could be tricky, because there's a few over in the UK now as well.
Yeah, you're going to need to track down your Paul Momborowski before he heads over.
Tyrone May will be going over to France for the grand final this weekend. Who knows?
All right. Now, I'm going to throw you some unanswered questions as far as the year and my take on them as well, as far as next year is concerned.
Oh, okay, right. Yep.
Now, the first unanswered question is, what happens with the World Club Challenge? Are we the same setup as last year, where we get this pre-season challenge and we invite the English premiers over to be part of that again? Because if not, that's a weird problem for the NRL, because they need kind of an even number of teams for those trial periods.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or are we heading over to England? I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I think we only found out about the World Club Challenge late last year. I think it was like early December they officially announced.
Well, we had a lot of to and fro. We were just not going to England. We just made that declaration.
A lot of the players were already there for the World Cup. Yeah. So they weren't going to come back and then go again. The preparation was just, you know, silly. So they sent St. Helens over here and they created this new pre-season challenge. But that was only just we assumed just for this year. What they do next year, who knows? You got four teams going to Vegas as well. So the preseason's already going to be quite...
Well, as far as we know, though, we are having four straight weeks, essentially, of preseason. So, or of football leading into the season. So you're going to have the two-week challenge. That is back.
So they are going to do
it. They are doing the challenge.
Well, will Penrith play a part in it?
I do not know. So this is the thing. We're definitely having the two-week challenge. Now, I guess if Penrith go to England for the World Club Challenge, they may just make it part of the preseason challenge.
Because anyway,
you won't have a team out here from England. But anyway, there is going to be that 2 weeks. Then there's going to be round zero, which will just be the Las Vegas games. And that's on that March 1-2 weekend.
Yep.
And then round one, which will be Penrith's first game and the rest of the comp's first
game. But then those four that played in Vegas, they ain't playing round one, are they?
You wouldn't think so. You would think that they will all... Well, they can't all have a round one bye.
It's not really a bye. They've just already played. So
yes,
technically
yes,
just...
but then so someone else will still need to have a bye, because we've of course got 17 teams, we're still going to need someone else. Yeah. So it's going to be a very
complicated draw.
Could
be a while before we see
and
that.
And good
draw.
Luck if you're coordinating a tipping competition, because that's all going to be confusing as well. All the tipping software and whatever, I imagine. So whether they officially say this is actually just part of round one, or whether this round zero concept actually does exist, or if we just pretend it's called round zero, but in all the things that we see, it'll say round one.
Well, I know Penrith, it sounds from reports, they are keen to do the World Cup Challenge, and they probably are keen to go over this time round as well.
We've got to win it. We've got to win it now.
So this weekend we've got Wigan versus Catalans, that's right.
Yep.
So the game could be in France for all we know.
You
know, Tyrone May and Mitchell Pearce get their dragons up. It's possible, or Wigan. Now, Wigan were a big force back in the day, up. Did we ever play them?
I think we may have played Wigan in the 92 World Club Challenge.
Who did we play in
03 or 04? Bradford,
they were big back in the day too, weren't they? I don't think they exist anymore in the Super League.
Yeah, they've had some big changes over there in the Super League. There's no doubt about that.
Promotion relegation here would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't think there are people who try. There are people who try to make that argument, but I think that'd be pretty ridiculous. Yeah, just confirming. Just got it here from our panel operator. Wigan defeated Penrith 21-4 in the World Club Challenge in 91 at Anfield. 20,000 watched it.
Anfield, really?
And of course, 2003. It was Bradford. Bradford 22, Penrith 4.
We're bad at World Club Challenge.
Kirklees Stadium.
Damn.
And yes, of course, St. Helens. Now, it would have been St. Helens in 21, in 22 as well.
Yes.
St. Helens would have played Melbourne. They would have also played us following the 21 success, but COVID reared its head there.
Yep.
So yes, 2023, St. Helens 13, Penrith 12. So we've had three cracks
at
a World Club Challenge for
I got a feeling they're going to win it this year.
this is the team you go, come on, like, let's get up. And if Wigan, interesting fact, if Wigan, who've been in more World Cup challenges than anyone, if Wigan do get through, they will be going to try and equal the Sydney Roosters record of 5 wins.
World Club Challenge wins.
Yep, they've been in 8 World Club challenges. They've won 4, lost 4.
Desperate for that, yeah. Love a bit of history.
Yeah, that'll be very, very...
It'd be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great, a little trip over to England to watch the boys?
Yeah, well, of course, maybe you have to choose Vegas or Vegas 2025, which is a possibility.
Or England 2024.
I think Penrith will be in Vegas in 2025. Don't worry about Peter Vlahakis.
He's just being a bit of a troll, isn't he?
I think him and Brian Fletcher have a long-standing relationship that might just be playing a little bit of a part in that. All right, next question. How do Penrith go next year, given that there is no Stephen Crichton, no Spencer Leniu, no Jamin Salmon? We talked about this last year in the same vein. We said no Kikau, no Appy, and Penrith have covered it. But does it eventually catch up? Does it eventually go, well, that's the one, Critter was the one?
Yeah, but I mean, we say that about Melbourne every year too. We're like, oh, they've lost that guy, they lost that guy, and they still end up being in a prelim grand final the year after. Look, you think this train continues to roll as long as, like, people like Nathan Cleary, Dylan Edwards, Isaiah Yeo are healthy and are playing, you know, for much of the season. If you lose a Nathan Cleary in round 2 to an ACL, then I don't know whether Brad Schneider and Jerome Luai or whoever's in at that point could get you there. Like, Nicarl Port and Nathan was this year to the team. And
Schneider's a good pickup, though, for that.
He's a good pickup.
This is following Penrith's real pattern of...
He has. He's played well in the Super League. He didn't play well the other night. I watched that game in... when he's playing for Hull and Wigan absolutely creamed them. But he's a good pickup, but still, he's no Nathan Cleary. Not many people are. So I think Penrith should be aiming for top 4 again. Top 2 would be excellent. We look at around the league and we look at some of the other teams and what they've done, and you kind of go, oh, well, you guys haven't really improved that much. There's a few clubs there that have added some good players and they're going to get better over time. But, Penrith aren't, losing too many guys that are significant, apart from Critter and, who else is going? That's good.
Spencer Leniu.
Well, a lot of people think that, Spencer Leniu isn't a great loss, but great player, huge impact player, but, he was only playing...
I don't think he makes a big difference as far as, becoming a top 4 team.
Losing a Fish or a Moses or a Liam Martin, it would have been a lot significant,
The bottom line is that, Penrith has the potential to get better still. Yes, you lose Stephen Crichton, but we've got Nathan Cleary at 25 years old. You've got Fish and Moses Leota who just keep absolutely tearing away. I reckon Moses Leota actually went past Fisher Harris this season, year in terms
as
of...
As a whole,
as our leader
in that forward pack. Yeah.
And that's great. I think that's a great thing. That's no slide on Fisher. That's all about Moses. So, and then you're gonna have Dylan Edwards coming off the back of some Kangaroos games. Hopefully, of course, he's been in the Australian squad. We'll see if he gets a run through that tournament. You imagine he would.
You don't know with Mal. you'd hope he'd get a run somewhere.
Yeah, look, it'll be interesting because you don't have, like, it's not like it's a World Cup tournament where you're playing a random game that doesn't matter and you give everyone a run. So there's only a couple of games there. So
you've got you've also got Taylor May as well, finally, fingers crossed, coming back and probably more determined than ever to prove everyone wrong. And I think, he was, people forget, he was our leading try scorer in 2022. Yeah,
yeah. So we are presuming that Taylor May will move into the centres.
Yep.
He's made that point through the year that's where he wants to play. Taruva stays on the wing. So, he probably doesn't have the strength of Stephen Crichton.
He's gotten bigger. Can think of it this year. He couldn't run much because he did his ACL and things like that. But he would have done a lot of, bulked up a lot of size, in his body and his chest and everything like that. So he's not as tall as Critter was.
Yep.
Critter was an athlete. Like, he's a basketball player, essentially. And, some of the things he could do. But Taylor May is strong, quite strong, before that, and you think he would be now as well.
What about one of the other unknowns, Jerome Luai?
Romy. Yeah, look, he's got a big year ahead of him. Who knows? But at this stage, he hasn't re-signed yet for he's there next year, but for anything further than that. So
a lot of the post-match commentary seemed to be, you'd be pretty confident if you were a Penrith fan, like the way he was speaking.
Yeah, he seems like the guy that I would be shocked. I've said that all year. You know, we're just knowing Jerome and the family guy he is, and buying a house in South Penrith, and just every fan in Penrith loves him. Like, well, the rest of the league, they don't like him too much, but every Penrith fan loves him.
I'm going to say it was really interesting, just a little tidbit of trivia.
Yes.
I went to the post-match function.
Half your luck.
At Panthers on...
Was that a VIP function?
Grand final night. I certainly wasn't the VIP, but anyway. And Jerome Luai, he would have been the quietest of all of the players, I reckon. Not that it was some raucous, wild event. I think the guys are pretty well reserved, and a lot of them have got young kids, obviously. A lot of them don't drink. So it wasn't like it was a wild night. But Jerome basically stood up on the Evan Theatre. You know, it's sort of got different tiers. Maybe stood up on about tier three. And he just watched the highlights for about an hour.
was he sitting or standing?
They were on a loop. He was just standing and hanging over the railing, watching the highlights of the grand final. So that was really interesting just to see him sort of engaged in that. But he was very quiet. You know, for all of the critics that go out there and think that he's loud, arrogant kind of guy, he's the most quietest there. And I think I think all of that commentary, by the way, surely ceases now. I mean, I think Penrith have done enough now to silence the critics. And even if you want to say that they're arrogant and all of this, well, you know what? It obviously led to wins because there's three straight premierships in the bank.
Yeah.
You are just embarrassing now if you're still out there trying to beat that old horse, surely.
Yeah, and trying to bring them down. But we've seen it. We've seen the art. We still see articles pop up today and over the weekend.
You know what's interesting, though? Someone said to me the other day, this is nothing new. Like, that Melbourne team, right, that we now look back on as...
Which one, the illegal team?
No, not the illegal team. Okay. The Melbourne team post that won a couple of comps, that we look back on and say, geez, you had the big three in there, whatever. But at the time, every second week there was a story about Melbourne wrestling. Melbourne's introduced a new wrestling technique into the game. Melbourne are ruining the game. All of this stuff. So... This kind of commentary just follows successful teams at the end of the day. And Melbourne, I guess, were sometimes a little bit harder to hate because there was no real rivalry. No club really had a rivalry with Melbourne. But everyone hated Cameron Smith.
Yeah.
Like, that's not... Like, Cameron Smith went through his whole career being told that he was a pseudo-referee. think of that time he got sin-binned. I think it was Shark
Park.
So... That is just the reality.
Yeah.
It follows success. It's not a Penrith thing per se. It's been amplified, I think, because of the exuberance some of our guys have.
True. But there are certain sections of the media that do attack Penrith for whatever reason. They used to do it when Gus was around because they had an agenda against Gus, but there are still some.
Yep. We all know that NRL 360's coverage.
Most of those guys on there.
In grand final week was bizarre. And yes. I mean, they must all be.
They did their best influence the referees with all that stuff. It didn't work the first time they tried to do it. Well, they tried again. No.
A lot of it was silly. A lot of it was silly talking about blockers on kickers that every team does. It's just a part of the
game. And it still didn't get picked up, so it didn't get penalised.
You should be penalising every club in every after every set.
That's right.
The player has played the ball, or is it has to be somewhere.
Yeah, and I think the referees are very smart. They're not going to listen to something that Paul Crawley's, whacked out in the Telegraph on Tuesday.
I actually thought probably that was the worst part of Grand Final week, and it was a great week, was the stories that just popped about percentages under Adam G and all that. We should... These are media identities who eventually, bag people who bag referees, but they're... Stories like that lead to people backing referees. Yeah. You're putting it in people's minds. Oh, yeah, he favours this team and he favours that team because of a winning percentage and things like that. Well, first of all, Penrith have a dynamite winning percentage under any referee. They've lost, 10 games in 3 years or something like that. But secondly, what are you... what are you trying to infer? Yeah. You know, like, all that is doing is putting a thought into some dickhead's mind who's then going to go on social media and bash that referee, you know, and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just silliness.
But it's a good thing is a lot of the Penrith fans and probably the wider NRL fans in general, like, they pick up on that stuff now.
Yeah.
So if these stories pop up on Twitter or Facebook, you go through the comments and yeah, there's a lot of blowback. So, you know, they're not too... yeah, before you'd go, oh, maybe people are believing this, but these days they see right through it, which is good.
And look, you in particular and myself, we're around this club quite a lot. We know the truth there, and a lot of anyone who's got anything to do with the club does. Any sponsor, any fan who after game just sees what it's like, we know that this is a great team and a great bunch of guys. It's unfortunate that hasn't many breaks. I thought the most hilarious part of Grand Final week was NRL 360 actually having a crack or a couple of people from 360 having a crack that Penrith weren't accommodating enough to them during Grand Final week.
Oh, unbelievable.
On a year.
Unbelievable.
Where Penrith have been bashing pillar
to post. They're doing a disservice to their fans when there was literally like 25 journos there on the Tuesday, I think, on Grand Final week. And every player probably did about 5 or 6 interviews each that weekend. But Talas said that they were ignoring their fans and not talking to them. No, they just weren't talking to you, Gordon.
Yes.
No one else.
Now, a big couple of extra time announcements, because extra time will be back in 2024,
oh, good.
Of course. Now, a couple of things. We are going to introduce next year a formalised Player of the Year. Now, this isn't a criticism or selection of Stephen
Crichton. Because I gave an outgoing player my extra time of the year.
But basically, there'll be four of us. It'll be myself, you, and Peter Lang. Peter Lang, of course, veteran Panthers reporter. Myself and you here at the weekend. And we're going to find a fourth former player who is going to pick a 3-2-1 every week. So potentially a player could pick up 12 points out of a round. And we'll do it Dally M style, in that we'll publish those via a ladder up until about round 15. Then we'll put it behind closed doors.
Can someone still keep track here? Just in
case? Yeah, we'll be keeping track internally. Don't worry about that. But we will have a formalised Player of the Year next year. And,
oh, good. That's awesome.
We'll be
and
doing
will, will
that.
They, will we give them a prize?
Yes, I think we'll partner with one of our trophy partners.
yeah, good.
And we'll give them a prize and a, you know,
I'll be thrilled.
Maybe a hotel stay or something like that. So don't worry about that. Well, they'll be getting a special presentation. We'll push for it to be part of Move Cartwright Medal Night, but I don't reckon that'll happen. The other thing is, I heard some feedback, so we're going to do it next year, that people really liked the full-size team list in our Grand Final Preview edition. So it won't be as prominent as that, which runs over 2 pages, but we will have the old big league style team lists next year. So
there you go.
So we'll be doing that. A bit of a push for a weekly Panther podcast as well, maybe.
I've heard.
Never know. Panthercast. We'll see what happens. All right, but there it is. That's it. That's NRL for 2023, I should say. Jeez, we're getting ahead of ourselves. But for 2023, a remarkable year, a three-peat year, and what a year, eh?
Oh, fantastic. Keep buying that merchandise out there, folks, and make sure you've got all your decorations, because we're probably going to need them again next year.
Yeah, well, we've still got the decorations. We might just leave them up.
Just keep them going.
Just don't worry about Christmas this year.
It makes it look prettier, it does.
Yeah, we'll leave them up. All right, thank you very much for joining us. Of course, don't forget, we will be back with a preview podcast in March next year, but also extra time returning in March. But we'll keep you up to date throughout the entire off-season with all the latest rugby league news. You can join us, of course, at westernweekender.com.au for all of that. Thanks very much for your company, and we'll see you next year. There we go. Wonder how that sounded. I'll check it out and see how we go. Yeah, I'm a bit worried about the...